Hey Wargamers, welcome back to the channel Death From Above Wargaming. I'm Aaron and I am back with Tom and Dom for a little jump point. So good morning and happy Sunday to you. This is our third episode and we are talking about the weird, the wild, and the wonderful. And we are going to open up today's episode with a little bit of rapid fire. So Tom and Dom, I hope you are ready. Question one, my favorite things in the world, protomechs. Are they worth reviving or should we just kill them dead? Tom.
I get to go first. Okay. I'm a booster for Protomechs.
Dom, thumbs up, thumbs down. Do you redesign them or kill them?
Probably thumbs down, but I think we're going to talk maybe a little bit later in the episode about what they can potentially do with them in the future. My one problem with the or major problem with the Protomechs is the terrible designs.
Okay.
They're actually in, not to put too many props in, but I pulled out the old TRO today and was having a look at them, and they really are a trash fire.
Yeah.
They're not good.
One man's trash is another man's treasure, is all I know.
It's true.
All right. Well, listen, rapid fire. Second question. Should the jihad be re jihad should it be retconned? And should we pretend like it never happened? Or is it an essential part of the lore? Tom, rapid fire.
Wow, the more the merrier. My initial thought is like, why not? There's space for everyone in this circus tent. So,
Dom.
Okay, so if we can, as soon as you go post FedCom Civil War, I massively lose interest in kind of the lore because it gets very sloppy. But I don't think we should retcon. No, I think retconning is actually negative for like the community in general, just in any kind of gaming sense. What I think you can do though is just kind of have it as like a lost a few decades. So, like you don't have to kind of put too much emphasis when you come to like writing the lore or, whatever new lines they want to do in terms of the game. But you can kind of just have it, shelve it, and then move on.
All
That
right,
would be
next
my whole idea
question.
with it.
Best era in BattleTech, Tom. You're the best era is what and why? Real quick, rapid fire, go.
Word of Blake.
That's not an
Celestial
era.
Mechs.
That's not an
Hot
era.
take.
That's a faction. That's the jihad. The jihad. Jihad.
Yeah, so the jihad. I'm all in for the jihad.
Oh
Definitely the best.
my God.
People
Dom,
secret
same
knowledge, snappy.
question.
I'll have to give a dual answer on this. I think for like general kind of art direction and fun, 3025, but in terms of gameplay, I really like the clan invasion. So,
Okay.
if I had to choose one, put a gun to my head, it's 3025.
All right. Next question. You have a gun to your opponent's head. Would you rather be a small pulse laser or a flamer, Tom?
Pulse laser.
Dom.
Flame of
All right. Last question in our rapid fire. If you had to be a mercenary or a pirate, Tom, what would you rather be?
Mercenary.
Dom.
Yep, Merc all the way. I love
You guys are boring. All right. Why don't we move
Mercs.
on to our interstellar news
Which
segment,
planet?
Dom? You have some updates for us, I believe, on the interstellar news side.
Yes, so we're going into a pretty exciting year, I think, across 2023 with BattleTech. The first quarter, there's obviously, the big thing is going to be the Kickstarter, but there is plenty of other like news happening and things being released as well. The first one, and I believe depending on when this recording comes out, it may be out at this time,
Right.
or not, it might be out in a few weeks, whatever. But this one I'm quite excited about. This is Dominions Divided. Now, this is for me, as someone like, I mean, I just kind of said that once you get past the FedCom Civil War, kind of get a little bit lost in BattleTech. But with everything that's happened recently, I think what they're doing with like the Ilkhan era is actually quite interesting, and they're really starting to fleshing it out. I mean, spoilers if you don't know, really. But Draconis Combine have taken New Avalon, which is absolutely shocking. As a Fed Sons player, that is appalling. So it's kind of how the Fed sons are trying to retake their duel. And then this, I suppose the other part of this is what's happening in the Rasselgard Dominion.
And then going along with that, I saw that they're releasing Alpha Strike Force manuals. Is that accurate, Tom?
This so is that's correct.
Q4 as well. Or so they say. They say Q4 and beyond.
Yes. And for those of older players amongst you, I think these were once known as combat manuals. So it kind of operates on the same line. I think just from the comms that have been put out, I think we're getting Davian. So they're doing like a Davian force manual, and that's to run alongside now the Karita and the mercenary manuals. I've not got any of these myself yet, but I love the idea of that because it really kind of builds in depth to like force creation. So for instance, if you're playing Karita, if you kind of want to combine that with like competitive narrative play, it's very good, I think, to kind of play it as a Karita would. So, you know, you don't want to be too conservative, for instance. So it's a bit of a meat grinder. So I think they're really good to get if you play for those specific forces.
Yeah, I mean, that was actually a question I asked on the Facebook group before. I said, hey, I want to play a specific faction. How do I figure out what mechs they would have actually used? And there is ways through, I think, like the MUL to filter on both era and on faction.
There is, yeah.
But I don't know how. There's a lot available. It was still really
so
hard
much.
To like, narrow in. And so hopefully these are better about like helping a player like me who's not like super great with lore. Like I don't know what mechs Karita would have used.
And there's like a difference between this mech is available versus like this is a signature mech for, you know, like the dragon is like a signature mech. I hope that there are, you know, Tom, we always joke about the layers of the Alpha Strike onion. Like, I hope this adds to that. And there are some cool things that they provide.
Karita specific formations.
Correct. Right. Like that's, and I was actually going to cite, I think it was 6th edition 40K. You remember they had the formations you took like specific units and it unlocked some crazy ability, which of course, you know, leads to some power gamey cheese. Hopefully it's well balanced, but you know, it's still cool. And I think I'm looking forward to them for sure. All right, let's get to our ready room roundtable. There's a lot to talk about in the weird and wild segment. We're going to start with talking about the 3060 and beyond era. Now, for a lot of us, right, there's a large chunk of players that like won't play past the clan invasion. And there's players that refuse to play outside of the classic 3025 era. And then there's a whole vast, swath of players that enjoy these later eras with the more advanced and crazy technology. And I don't just mean rotary auto cannons, right? I mean, there's like mimetic armor and like there's just weird stuff. Tripods, protomechs, super heavies, right? They change the way the game is played, I think. They change the balance of the game. They change, I think, how a lot of us traditionally think about or imagine Battletech should be, right? How the universe should be. Almost like lambs. Like, I want to pretend they don't exist because it doesn't make sense. They're not Transformers. They're cool, but it's dumb, like in the context of the Battletech universe. Sorry if I offended anybody. I'm not sorry. So let's talk about this sort of post-3060 era and the tech. Like, do we think that CGL is going to revamp, revise, simplify, streamline, change the way any of this stuff works so that it is either, you know, easier to integrate in the game or just sort of, you know, sort of fades out? And I will leave you with one example. So the protomechs, as far as the lore is concerned, like they don't exist past whatever 3080 or whatever the year is where like people decide this was an awful idea and we're not going to do it anymore. Same thing with the tripods and things like that, right? They almost get like lore killed and they didn't even really have a chance to sort of grow. So let's go around the table. Tom, we'll start with you. Like any thoughts on that stuff?
From Catalyst's perspective, I don't see why they wouldn't embrace just from a business standpoint, later eras.
Yeah.
The way that they've been releasing things are sort of era specific, and so you don't upset anybody. Like, they might get upset that you're focusing at all on it, but that's typically a really small percentage of people. Even if they don't want to play it, mm-hmm. that it's out there is cool. And I wonder how many of those people don't like it on the tabletop, but enjoy maybe some of the novels, like the books. So I don't know that everybody's, I think there's a lot of overlap there. So yeah, but some of the rules though, again, if we're ever talking about classic, it's just an impossible, so much of that stuff becomes like very hard to play, in a yeah. fun way anyway. So,
yeah.
But that just gets me back to our argument about classic. What is it good for? Absolutely.
That's harsh. Dom, those are fighting words.
I don't mean that. They are fighting words.
So Dom, tell me what you think. And you can feel free to dive into, I know earlier you had a comment on Protomex. I mean, feel free to delve into that too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, Protomex to me, excuse me, are the, like the poster child for where Battletech started to really go derpy. And I mean that in not just the designs, which I've touched on, which are not good, but also in regards to the lore.
What does that say?
Destiny.
Who has a red notepad?
You like that?
Oh, my
Lord. Oh, wow. Multicolored. Wow. We've all got props tonight. What's going on?
For every mood. Yeah, props I also tonight. Have a drill.
A measuring tape.
Ooh, look, we're like Bob the Builders over here.
Poor Dom. So Dom, right. Please continue.
That's fine. It's fine.
You left off at derpy.
I left off at derpy, yes. I think one of my other issues with them as well is the lore starts to get slightly bizarre as well. Obviously, I mean, the Protomex, if you don't know this, they were basically a clan, not you, I mean, the audience, right. I'm sure you guys know this, but the, some people may not. Yeah, they are a clan smoke jaguar like invention, and they were done because their supply line was like so long, right down into kind of Draconis Combine and Rassel Karg space, which was problematic because those are very nationalistic like nations within Battletech, so they had all manner of like insurrections and supply chain right. problems and everything with that. So they decided in their wisdom to kind of drop the battle mech down because they're so difficult and complex to make, and instead make these tiny little, you know, these things between battle armor and light max. And it becomes odd in the lore because they start using like the like genetically engineered warriors who right. are tiny. Like, it's very odd. Like, you know, they're not like the big elementals, the big muscular 7 foot people. It's like right, tiny
like
little
midgets.
Folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they put in there. And awful. At that point, it's just comical, right? It's like the thought of this little dude in this, it just, it's very odd.
Well, also, so
I think that's where they just went a bit crazy.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, just to pile on, and it's like the whole emotional, right? Like they would get like bonded to the Protomech, right? And they would start mm-hmm. having like crazy visions, and like they all ended up going mad and killing themselves. Like, it was really bizarre.
I was going to say, they only lasted a very short time, right?
Right, right. Yeah, so none of it made sense. And also, not to just trash the lore, but like, you've already got elementals. Let's read the books, like elementals. I love them conceptually. I just hate them because every time I read a book, they're like, you know, my elemental like wades through 4,000 mechs and tears them limb from limb. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah.
But they have these things that are allegedly like indestructible, you know, machines of death. And they decide to build something slightly larger that looks like a minotaur. I don't know. I hate them.
Yeah.
I just drew a protomech. Do you want to see it?
Did you just do freehand a protomech?
I just freehanded. This is what I think a protomech looks like. Is that about right?
That looks better than the one in here,
wait
Tom.
Wait a minute.
I can categorically tell you.
Like that? He's doing a little bit of a dance.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Thank you. I imagine he was doing this kind of like... I assume they have like very ritualistic dances before they get in.
It's far better than the original though. Far better.
There you go. You're welcome.
My vote is with Tom.
Thanks, Kyle.
God bless. God bless you, Tom. God bless your heart.
Yeah, I already added to their lore, so now they have a special dance they do before they go into battle.
That makes sense.
Which, as they get crazier, gets more and more elaborate and takes longer. So eventually, it's like a 30-minute thing. Just never ends, and that's how they know that they're going crazy.
This is the best Ready Room roundtable I think I've ever had in my life. So I want to talk about super heavy mechs and tripods. So I want to come clean. I love super heavy mechs, and I loved in Warhammer when they introduced Imperial Knights and the stupid giant battle suits that the Tau had, like the idea of like, I'm going to make it bigger makes much more sense to me than I'm going to make it smaller. And having like a 200 ton, you know, orca or whatever the hell it's called, you know, bristling with even more guns and piloted by a crew is actually kind of a neat concept to me. Tripods, I think I inherently dislike because they're stupid looking and it reminds me of War of the Worlds. Remember like the old, the tripods, the Martians came down in tripods. That's what it always reminds me of. I think they need like tentacles and heat rays. But the big super heavies that look like battle mechs and the super heavy vehicles, you know, like there's one that's like a basically a siege breaker, right? It's like a 200 ton. I can't remember the name off the top of my head. Somebody put it in the comments. But these things are very cool concepts to me. Like, I mean, this is what you would do is you would just make these mechs, try to make them even bigger and more devastating, being able to, you know, weather strafing runs from Tom's airspace fighter wing, you know, you'd be able to do everything with them. I don't think they actually play like that though. And they're super slow and they're kind of clumsy and they end up getting just, you know, rear arced and blown apart. But I wish they were cooler.
So I don't think that they have rear arcs, right? Most of the super heavies.
No, I think the tripods do not. Because I think they have 360 degree, but I do think that the super heavy, the super heavy, like the two-legged, like the orca is one of them. I think it's called the orca.
Yeah, see, I would have figured they'd have special rules, but what do I know? Yeah, I mean, I like them again because it's just, I like everything. But in reality, right, everything's getting smaller, right? I mean, if you're talking about just in fun lore,
yeah,
it's cool that they're getting bigger. I think in terms of like actual battle tactics, most things are the opposite.
Drone swarms? You want drone swarms on the table?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, and I don't think. I just don't.
Just like off with flamers, they like buzz up to your mech and just like turn the heat up to 30.
A game of Savannah Masters, yeah, and battle armor.
A game of armored drones.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. I think you get into the fact that, like, these gigantic, you know, 200-ton mechs would have to be doing just devastating amounts of damage, and they didn't seem to lean into that. They seemed reticent to make them, like, noticeably crazier. So then they do like 4 damage, 5 damage, but they have 10 times the armor, right? And I just, like, they're like, meh, kind of boring.
All right, I'll buy it. It would be cool though if they had bigger guns. So, any closing thoughts on this? Any other stuff that
I'll be quick because conscientious of time. But I don't necessarily disagree with the idea of like super heavies or tripods. But I would say, or I would ask that philosophical question on where does that end? So, like, BattleTech has got like a very definitive, like, IP, so it kind of sits within that like 20 ton to 100 ton range, and I think once you kind of go outside that, it becomes a little bit of a crunch creep. So you end up with a, you know, like where do you stop, where do you have like 300 ton mechs or 6-legged mechs or whatever else. So I think you've got to, if you do it, you have to do it conservatively and you have to do it smartly, and I think I trust them now to do that, you know, the kind of custodians of BattleTech. I wouldn't have trusted them at all like 15 years ago. So yeah, there's that. There's scope to do it for sure.
Yeah. 15 years ago when they wrote Jihad. Yeah. Sick burn. All right. So let's move into our render blender. Tom, are you excited about this?
My favorite part of the night.
We're going to render blend four different models. So this is, what is this thing called? The Recon and Hunter Battlefield Support Pack. And yeah. Do all of these come in one box? Or will it be
they
two?
Do.
Gosh, that's glorious.
All in one box.
So you could buy a couple of boxes of these and be set, you know, like paint them in a generic olive green and you could have more than enough vehicles. I'm very excited for these and the new Kickstarter. But let's talk about real quick what these things are. All right. So here's kind of what I'm looking at. Bring this up in the full screen. So we've got these little guys. These are Skulkers. These are 20-ton wheeled vehicles. They pack a single medium laser. Warriors, I absolutely love. And then we've got like the heavy tanks. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, Behemoth and Antos. And these things are absolutely phenomenal. But I'm going to tell you right now, they're kind of garbage. So the Behemoth, which is this one up here. So this is a 100-ton tank. And then the Antos, right, which this thing is basically 8 medium lasers and then 2 LRM5s. So.
Yeah, so let's start with the Skulkers. I love the design of that thing. It looks like a lunar lander. It looks almost like the car that Homer designs in The Simpsons, if you remember, that tanks is from the car company.
Oh, I love that.
And you can't unsee it now that I said it, right?
No.
It looks just like it.
No.
Yeah. it's awesome. I'm a huge fan. I love like kind of this era of 80s like cyber future design. So it's perfect. It's got a bubble. It has a satellite, which is so good. Up-facing exhaust pipes. It's great. It's a really great mech. And they gave it like those awesome Lego-ish wheels, you know, like it has a really deep treads of just like the old school
Lunar Lego.
Yeah. Okay.
So good.
Let's move on to the Warriors. Hate them. No, I'm kidding.
Beautiful.
It's absolutely a really great design. Yeah. I mean, they take like the modern.
Look at that.
Yeah. Like the modern stealth style of helicopter rotor design, like kind of thicker, very smooth into the center. Very cool. I love that it has like the enclosed rear housing, and they don't try to replicate like a helicopter, which would be side facing, and make it like this is what it'd be like in the future. And I always thought it was like a jet engine, you know, but I don't know what it is. I think it's just a rear facing propeller. And then yeah, it's awesome. It's a great, great design. They're really knocking the vehicles out of the park. Very similar to like the first round of mechs they threw out, you know, somewhat were starved for really good vehicle design. So they're working from a curve, and then this guy, again, you know, guns on the side, big long ones. You mentioned, the Tau earlier. Those guns really remind me of the Tau.
Mm.
They're kind of thin and long, you know. It has the side turrets. Like you mentioned them just having all these weird guns everywhere. And it has them, these weird guns everywhere. You can see the little SRMs on the front. You know, you can see, like, I guess those are machine guns right above it and underneath, hidden by the, you know, you have side machine guns. You have what I assume are LRMs on the top. Are those also SRMs?
These look like SRM-6s. I think these are actually the LRMs on the front, and these look like SRM-2s with a machine gun and, like, a sponson.
Yeah. So, like, the designer, they actually knew the loadout, which is great. So they're like, you know, authentically recreating it. It has again, we talked actually the other night about these new designs being so much taller than the old school metal ones that were just flat. They were like, it was like weird polygon renders from an 80s video game, you know? Do you remember that game I'm talking about? The weird polygon tank fight game? I can't remember the name of it.
I know which one you mean. Yeah, I can't remember the name. I used to play that.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, really, and then this guy here. And which tank is that? The back one was the Behemoth, right?
This is the Ontos.
The Ontos. O-N-T-O-S? Is that it? Ontos? Yeah. So, same thing. They stuck with the side guns, and they don't have a center-mounted turret, which is an interesting design. I feel like if this had been older, they would have just stacked those guns on top of each other or something. But and then it has that giant missile pod hanging out on top of it, which again, asymmetrical. Big thumbs up for me. Well, that was an okay, but I'll also give it a thumbs up. And then you have those weird, I don't know what those kind of bulbous on the outside of the tank treads are on the Ontos, but I like them. I don't know if they're guns or they're just cool little flourishes, but
I think cool. They're like armored cover. They're like armored hubcaps over like the main gears, you know,
Yeah, and so what they actually need, and maybe Dan can 3D print us, you know, like semi trucks, like big trucks, they have those spikes on their hubcaps now.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we need. So Dan has to get to work putting some spikes on that.
I thought you were going to say truck nuts, but I'm glad you didn't.
I think they're actually on there. If you could rotate that render, they're there. And the Warriors actually have truck nuts too. But they're super dangerous. Yeah, it's just really like, if they stop too fast, it really makes them crash. So
oh my goodness. All right. Well, listen, we are going to get into our last segment here. Now, normally we do patron Q&A, but we're actually introducing a brand new segment. This is the comment of the month segment.
You are so mean.
Now we get, you know, we get lots of comments and we love 99.9% of them. Even some of the contentious ones where they're like, I don't agree with this Battlelytics and the summoner's definitely better than the avatar. It's not. You know, we like to engage in that stuff, but every now and then you just get such a fantastic comment. I just don't know what to do with it aside from forward it to Tom and say, would you read this? How should I respond? This one was especially good, and I wanted to give special props to Chris R, who made the following comment. I don't even know. This was on one of the Urban Mech Battlelytics videos. Chris R says, 44 seconds of intro? ? Nope. Stopped watching, period. Not worth my time. I don't waste my time watching videos of self-important wannabes who slap vanity clips that long on their postings, period. Well, I responded that I thought it took more than 44 seconds to actually write and compose that comment. But what do I know? So thank you, Chris R, for this comment. Yeah. I very much appreciate it.
And can I also ask, Chris, if he wants really unprofessional, terrible YouTube content, unedited, he's more than welcome to check me out. I mean, that's what I absolutely specialize in.
Let's give a plug to Dom's channel. Dom's channel is not garbage. Dom's channel is fantastic. Dusk Haunters, I'll pop a little thing up. Make sure you go over there and subscribe to Dom's channel. Dom talks about all sorts of crazy Battletech stuff, so you'll love
it. But it
that
is completely unedited, just so you know. No edits in my videos. Probably no edits.
Well, that's because Tom's not on your channel. You don't have to edit out offensive comments. All right. Well, on that note, it's actually me. I'm the offensive one. Tom knows this. I just blame Tom because he has a mustache.
I can take it. This is like mimetic armor, stealth armor.
Way to bring it back full circle. All right. Well, on that note, guys, don't forget to check out Ares Games and Minis. Don't forget to check out Terrainify and all our other great, exciting vendors that we like to purchase from. You can find them all in the video description there of this Jump Point episode. But thank you so much for watching. We're all wrapped up. We hope that you enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I know we will. Always great stuff coming from Death from Above Wargaming. Have a good day.